Hello and welcome to the JFG podcast.
Hello.
This is episode 234. My name is Alex. I'm joined, as ever, by my good friend Ash. Hey, buddy. How's it going there?
Hey, buddy. As always, feeling good on a Wednesday. Yaya. Sparkling thoughts. Give me the hope to go on. It's been a while. We've had some hiatus, I believe.
Yeah.
You call it. You were ill. I was ill. My wife had an operation, so I can't really... There's a lot going on. Anyway, we're here. We're queer. And, you know, we're ready to podcast.
Absolutely right, yeah. That's the longest missed kind of episodes ever, I think.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of time between episodes, the longest since the show began. And yeah, like, it's been the season of illness and misfortune, but you know.
To be honest, I looked at my Chinese New Year graph or whatever it is the other day. I'm the year of the rat, buddy. I'm a wood rat, I believe. The year I was born. It's odd though, because it says 85 is like year of I don't know something. And 84 is the year of the rat, but it ends on like February the 20th or something. So I snuck in there as the rat.
Snuck in.
And
last minute.
I looked at this. It's absolute bollocks, but there's a graph going along. And there's one for health. And in December, it pretty much goes all the way down to zero. So I kind of expected to die. So
yeah.
I'm going to take it as a bonus that I'm not dead.
No, and you know that would have been a good reason to cancel the show.
But, true. I mean, you could have carried
on in there, and here we are. So yeah,
we're back. Hello. So, I mean, I haven't done anything of note. So, whatever.
I've got nothing interesting to say.
No.
I've just been doing the standard bullshit, you know, like work here and there, and then getting a bit pissed in the weekends. Been
getting
all the Christmas tree up and everything.
Yeah,
and,
Christmas. Went to the Panto, you know, standard stuff.
You went to the Panto, I went to the Pantiles. It's a beautiful kind of symmetrical thing there. But
happy days.
All in all, I think the topic of this week's show, buddy, is video games. And tis the season to play video games. The nights draw in, the weather turns to shit, and the best place for you is plonked in front of your television. And obviously, with us having not done a show for a couple of weeks, I've played a fucking load of video games.
He's played all the games.
Whereas and I want to talk about them, buddy.
I've played one game, as is tradition. But I've got a couple of things that I can talk about, don't you worry.
It's good news.
I've literally just written a couple of things in the pod notes, but we'll get to that at some point. Don't worry about it. Hey.
Yeah.
We're just going all over the place. First of all, I remember either last Friday or whenever it was, when I was on, we played some PES, and I couldn't stop laughing at how bad that game was.
Yeah, well, it does have its problems, that game.
It doesn't... First of all, it doesn't play like a football game. Like, I know a football game plays like, obviously, they're trying to change it up because of the whole eFootball, make it super serial kind of thing, I'm guessing.
They're going for a sim.
Does so that going make for... it fun, though?
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the thing with Sims has always been, and you can say this about any simulation, I think,
like the
a
Sims.
Lot of the satisfaction comes from how difficult it is. So,
true.
In theory,
high
in
risk.
Sort of
high reward kind of thing. I know, you know kind of about that. I'll talk about that later when I have my hour section about Destiny 2.
I can't wait for
I know,
that.
I know, right?
You know.
I'll let you know.
It's just flying the flag.
But that's a high risk, high reward. Not really reward, but feel good feeling, I guess.
No, there's no winners
reward.
There,
but, I mean, there's not really any rewards in video games if we look at all of them.
The reward is the fun you have along the way.
Well, you could say, or maybe it's the enjoyment you get out of, or the satisfaction of completing something. You know, like roguelikes and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, video games, they release the endorphins.
Video games? What's it all about?
What's that about? Yeah.
You
know, horses for courses, buddy.
The thing with Pez is it's really hard, but if you successfully do something, then you should feel a sort of sense of achievement, and that's the idea.
I kind of feel like, well, why why doesn't it just do that all the time? Like I want it to.
There's a lot of nonsense, and I think games suffering from poor netcode.
I have not played this offline, so yeah, I can't. You know,
I've played a couple of seasons of Master League offline, and I'm really enjoying it. It's not the best football game ever, but it's at least consistent offline. The AI, so you can kind of get to grips with it and work out how to defeat it, and then score lots of goals and feel pretty good about yourself because of that. So
nice.
It's not the best game. There's a lot of issues, namely the fact that everything is just impossible to control. You make one wrong move, you know, hold the run button down for slightly too long or change direction in a way that the game doesn't like, and you're immediately punished with losing the ball. Or, you know, just falling over or it bouncing off your fucking knob. I don't know. Like, anything could happen in Pez. And it usually does. And it usually leads to a terrible football match.
That will happen.
They tried something, buddy, and they failed. They failed.
How long will they last? We won't know, you know.
Well, that's the thing, you know. As shit as Pez is this year, we will miss it when it's gone.
Maybe.
And it will go.
It will one day.
Because Konami will just get bored of, you know, making it.
Yeah.
And that could happen at any minute.
That's Pez, I guess, for now.
That's Pez.
For now in video games. F1 2019 is still really good. I like that game.
Oh, I love that game.
It's very good.
I can't get enough of it. It's absolutely wonderful. I've been rocking my new wheel the last few weeks.
How have you settled in with that? Is it good?
It's great.
It's like an old bicycle, but not rusty.
It's got a lot of little nubs. As you turn the wheel, you can feel all the little nubs where it hasn't sort of worn down like my old wheel had.
The sweaty hand grip.
And the dirt sort of forced into the fucking rubber around the hand side.
They used to do that with like controllers back in the day. Like I remember doing it on like the N64 one because probably the SNES one because they were like, well, they're light grey. And, you know, on the rivets where they're connected, you just scrape all the fucking skank out of it. How minging is that?
Horrible. Proper disgusting. And probably a hoarder of many a germ.
Indeed. Talking about controllers, PlayStation controllers are wank, aren't they?
Have you got some sort of issue with them?
As in, I've had six of them already, and I've had to buy another two for Christmas.
They don't last very
long. They are fucking wank. It's made me think, shall I just invest in, you know, one of these pro controllers? Like, just drop a ton on it and be like, there we go. That's going to last me 5 years.
I just don't know that it would, though.
Because
I think that
I'd take pretty good care of my...
There's nothing on the market where the analog sticks don't wear out and,
I was playing, obviously, Destiny the other day, and it's a shooter. You kind of got to be a bit accurate with the old right thumbstick. And we're doing the raid boss. And I'm trying to shoot him in his glowy belly bit, which is, where you do all the damage. Makes sense.
Classic maneuver.
Exactly. Yep. And I'm, like, just slightly moving. And then suddenly, whoop, just shivs off to, like, the left, like, I don't know, a metre. Let's just say a distance. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, okay, maybe that was just me. And then it did it more and more and more. And now it's fucking all the time. I'm like, what the fuck? So I grabbed my kids' controllers. I'm like, these are even worse. Like, the only one that works is my wife's one. Because, like, it's hardly ever been used. Only for Overcook. So I've ordered a couple more for Christmas for the kids, and I'm just like, for fuck's sake, I'm going to have to buy myself one, but I don't know. You said it's like the analog sticks aren't built to last, I guess, and that's always the thing that goes with me.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a great deal of trouble with that. I haven't really experienced that. I used to get masses of wear on the sticks themselves. I switched at the start of this generation to having grips on.
Yeah, me too. Sticks,
and they seem to last a really long time now. I haven't had that many issues. I think you might have been a little bit unlucky. I know if you remember when the console initially launched, the PS4, wasn't that whole first batch of controllers were all faulty and like the rubber was all coming off.
I managed to take mine back to Argos and get it replaced.
Yeah,
so.
You get it replaced.
That was all right, yeah. But
they're not the best. I mean, the more I've been playing Xbox, the more I've kind of really got used to that Xbox One controller and kind of adjusted to... The biggest problem I had with it to start off with was how the triggers are kind of like, is it convex? Like they're kind of, they're kind of bowed in a sort of semicircle.
Concave, which is inwards.
Yeah, and you're kind of used to not needing to worry about exactly where your fingers are with the PS4 ones because the buttons and the triggers are so sort of thin and kind of just, they're just there.
Mm.
I've had to kind of adjust. I still struggle massively with shooters on the Xbox.
Yeah.
I just don't find it as precise as the PS4 controller for aiming and stuff.
See, I was looking at a lot of these so-called pro controllers or whatever you want to call them. And a lot of them have the Xbox layout, you know, where the left thumbstick is above the D-pad. Now, do you really care about if that's up or down or whatever? Because I can't really remember, to be honest.
I don't notice. I don't feel like I have any problems there. The only thing I will say is, I do sometimes play games for like fucking 6 hours if I get like a spare weekend where I haven't got anything on. I never get any hand cramps or problems with the PlayStation controller. I do with the Xbox controller.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the analog sticks or the size and the shape of the thing. I can't really put my finger on exactly what the problem is, but I never have any issues. I can play PES for an entire fucking Sunday on the PS4 and have no problems whatsoever. But if I play like 4 hours of Xbox One on that controller, I do get cramps and aches and stuff. So, don't know.
Now, I always used to find it that with the triggers, like this is on the 360. I've barely used an Xbox One controller, to be honest, but roughly the same, I guess, you know, with the triggers and stuff. With the PlayStation, I can use, you know, me to fucking give you the sweary sign, you know, the old V.
Yeah.
I can use both
cover
of them.
Cover all four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the Xbox, I can't. And I don't know why. I can't manage to do that. I have to use my trigger finger as the triggers. And then, I don't know. It's tough, this controller thing. And obviously, now, so late in the life and the PS5 coming out next year, it would be totally pointless, I reckon, buying one of these like pro controllers for like 100 quid. I might as well just pick up another 30 quid DualShock 4, get me through the end of this and pick up, well, that's if I pick up a PlayStation 5 on launch. Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I just wanted some thoughts about it. I don't know if any of our listeners have got these special controllers, and if they have, you know, let us know. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to hear from someone who uses that. Is it the Xbox Elite controller, one that you can kind of, because that thing you can kind of adjust where the triggers sit, how far out the analog sticks come, and all sorts. And that sounds cool.
I had a look at one of these ones. It's the Astro something. JJ sent it to us like a year or so ago, but it's like 180 quid, and it's a modular unit where you can place bits wherever the fuck you want, kind of thing. I was like, that looks really cool, but you know, is it worth 180 quid? Who knows? Like, is it gonna
not
last
at the end of a cycle?
No, definitely not. No,
it's the sort of thing you want to invest in when you switch up
exactly
to the next console.
So
you know you've got 5 years to play with.
Yeah, but yeah, fucking PlayStation controllers, mate, they are wank.
Certainly don't seem to wear very well.
They really fucking don't, not in my house anyway.
Gibbons, absolutely. Yeah, I've been playing a hell of a lot of Xbox. Obviously, dipping into Game Pass, that's been the bulk of. And I also bought a game on Xbox.
Fuck off!
It's the first game I've bought since I got my little shit heap.
What game is this?
I bought the Orange Box again.
Yeah, you did.
I've probably bought it 4 times and traded it in repeatedly.
Yeah.
Just had a massive hankering for some Half-Life 2 the other day. And, yeah, so I went on the Xbox One marketplace and you can't buy it on there. I looked online and at various stores and like CEX and stuff. And it was like, yeah you can have it for like 25 quid. It's fuck quite off. Rare, apparently. I was like, fuck off, is it rare? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found, just searching like Price Runner, it came up that it was $14.99 on the Xbox Marketplace. And I was like, well, it isn't because it's not on there.
Yeah.
I followed the link through and it took me to the old 360 Marketplace,
yeah.
which is still live for some reason. And it was available to buy on the 360 website. And I thought, well, I mean, this game is backwards compatible with Xbox One.
Yeah.
So if it allows me to complete this purchase, then presumably I'll be able to download it on my Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. I used PayPal just in case it didn't work because I thought, I can get the money back if need be. But it went through fine. And then I just wandered into the living room, fired up the Xbox One, looked at my list of available software to install. And then it was just like, boop, and there it was. So I downloaded it.
That's quite cool. Why isn't that fucking store?
I've no idea. I sort of had a good old look after that point, and there's loads of stuff on there. There's loads of games on there. And there's nothing on that marketplace, the 360 one, that tells you whether a game is backwards compatible or not. So you could very easily go on there and buy
something.
A load of software you can't even run.
Yeah.
So nice. Good stuff, Microsoft.
Well done.
World, cleaning up after yourselves. Good stuff.
Yeah. But, they've done good.
But yeah, I'm about halfway through Half-Life 2 for the
God knows how much.
Sixth or seventh time. Yeah. And that game's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is. That orange box is just fantastic. Like, it's so good. I've got it on PC, obviously. I've got it on Steam in the Steam sale for like 50p, I'm guessing. But yeah, I love Half-Life 2. It's such a good game. We've spoken about it so much before, about it being such a revolutionary game, you know, bringing like physics and all kinds of stuff like into now, which is, you know, what we think of as just normal, like, but that was like the first game that really did it and pushing the boundaries, and that's why I'm kind of excited about Half-Life Alyx.
yeah
because, you know, from the trailer it just looks like, oh, it's just going to be another VR game, but there has to be something in there that's just like, holy shit, why hasn't anyone been doing this before, kind of thing.
Yeah, if someone's going to innovate, then it will be Valve, especially with them trying to sell a hardware platform at the same time. It doesn't look like they're doing very much else. They're certainly not curating Steam, so they might as well fucking make a nice video game.
Fuck, did you hear that the Campo Santo game's pretty much been pulled?
Yeah.
That's sucks, shit. Was it something? What was it called? I want to say Curse of Osiris, but that's Destiny.
Was it the Egyptian thing?
Yeah, the Egyptian game that we saw like 2 years ago. And I was like, yes, I'll play that. I love Campo Santo.
In the Valley of Gods.
There you go. That was close.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on there. We haven't had anything for ages.
They came out this week and said that no. Like Campo Santo has been like, all the people working on it have been pretty much pulled elsewhere to work on Half-Life Alyx and the Steam store and other places. The dude that was running it tweeted out like, oh yeah, it'd be nice to come back to it at some point, kind of thing. It's like, oh, fuck that game then. Yeah, all right. So Campo Santo is pretty much gone since they've been bought out by Valve.
Shit,
really.
Surely they don't need... I mean, it's a small studio, that. Surely they didn't need to use them for something else. Like,
I don't know.
Have they not got enough clobber to just hire some people to do that fucking stuff?
No, apparently not. They did. They hired Campo Santo to do that, buddy.
They were in control of their own destinies and sold their studio.
Yeah, so, obviously. You know, I just think it's a big shame because I thought Firewatch, it's one of my favourite games of this generation. It was so good.
It's right up the top of the walking sims. I think it'd be in my top five sort of walking sims, up there with like Edith Finch, for example.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, fantastic game. Absolutely.
I like a good walking sim. Apart from Blair Witch, that was shit.
Yeah, don't play that thing.
That was bad. Bad game.
I have completed two games since we last spoke.
No way.
And I was wondering, buddy, if you would like to hear about either of them.
Please, regale me with your tales.
Here we are then. Well, you might remember from the last time we did a podcast, which was some time ago, that I was playing a game called The Talos Principle, which
I do puzzles and robots,
portal-esque first-person puzzle. Yeah, yes,
love puzzles. Big
and
fan.
I wasn't particularly enjoying it a great deal.
I remember you saying the visuals were impressive but lacking.
Yeah, well, it just looked like a game jam game or something.
Yeah,
like
just been slapped up. But like, here's a tree, but demo. You know, that's the only tree, and it's repeated 100 times.
Yeah. So I got further and further into it, and the puzzles got more and more interesting. And then it got to the point where they got quite annoying. But by that point, I was hooked on the meta, buddy. I was hooked. So obviously the game is you do all of these puzzles, but there's an overarching story. And I don't want to spoil it because people might play it. It's very good. It's worth a go. It probably took me 10 hours to complete. But are you in a simulation? Are you a robot? Like, what's going on kind of thing? It's got a bit of Turing test about it in that respect.
That was a good game.
Yeah, that was a good game. The puzzles are pretty good. And in the end, I pushed through till the end. And I say pushed through because by the end, I was not enjoying the puzzles anymore. God. I really wasn't.
Was it because they were difficult or just tedious?
It's because they were mildly tedious. Mm. It introduced a mechanic where you had basically a record box. So you go into the room and then you could hit a button to start recording. And then maybe carry a block over to a switch, for example, and then come back and hit play on it, and a ghost version of you would do that
the block,
leaving the original block where it was. What? And you could perhaps use that to get you through a door, so you could use the block for something else.
Right.
And that became more and more elaborate, where you ended up your recorded version of you, like, carrying the real-time version of you on his head, like, as you go through, like, an obstacle course. And it got more and more elaborate and frankly, more and more fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And every single puzzle, it wasn't like, I'm never going to be able to do this. I never felt like that. It was, I'm going to have to bang my head against this for half an hour to do this.
Until it fits.
And that's not very fun.
No.
So, in most places it was brilliant. This is like a sort of 8 out of 10 game, in that I think a lot of people, I mean, with puzzles like this, it's very much personal preference.
True.
A lot of people will probably really like the bits I didn't, and maybe the bits that I liked wouldn't go down very well with others. So but all in all, the story, the overarching story, which is a funny thing to say for a puzzler like this, it was worth completing for the story. I really enjoyed the concepts behind it. It's the first game in a very long time where I've actively looked for all of the like audio log thingies and collected all of the fucking notes and shit. Yeah, it was just very interesting, cool kind of Philip K. Dick sort of thing going on. With basically like androids, and as the world ended, like, are you like inside a computer or are you like in heaven? Like, it's really interesting. And if you like puzzle games, certainly first person puzzle. If you like Portal, this is well worth a go. It's really good, just not absolutely amazing, but the story really carried it towards the end. And it's just got a good sense of humor about it as well. And some really cool stuff. Like, you're constantly being spoken to by this sort of godlike figure, just like booming voice in the clouds. But then there's like terminals in different places, and you can like talk to a computer with a sort of dialogue tree thing. All in all, very much enjoyed it, and a great addition to Game Pass, I would say.
Nice, yeah. That's on PC as well. I don't know I don't think I've got it installed yet. Let me have a gander.
I think it'd be more fun on PC. I think it would play better with a mouse and keyboard.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
news for you, buddy. Right now, Ticket to Ride is on Game Pass on PC right now.
Certainly is, buddy.
I love trains.
I don't know if it's the same version or if it's updated or what, because I've got the original version that we bought on 360 installed on my Xbox One.
I think it's the normal one.
I was hoping it might have like the Europe DLC or something, but I don't think that ever came to console. not sure on that one.
Oh, man, it's got a 1.5 rating on Xbox Beta.
That's some bullshit. It's a great game.
What?
Not having that.
This review, terrible. This is the kind of awful, complete garbage that will make people consider cancelling their Game Pass subs. Was this helpful? No.
No, it wasn't. You plonker. It's great. Everyone likes Chicken a Ride. What a douchebag. I've been playing a game this week featuring a train, buddy.
Hello? Trains?
Yeah. That's right.
I love trains.
It's a game called The Final Station.
What?
It was recently added to Game Pass. And you play a post-apocalyptic train driver. So... this game is like a 2D pixel art side scroller where you play a train driver, and at the start of it there's quite clearly a zombie apocalypse and you're trying to fight your way out, and I don't think there is a way to fight your way out because you die, spoiler alert in the opening minute of the game. And then you wake up as this other dude or a different person or whatever. I think that at the end of the game, it will return you to the opening scene where you die, but with the knowledge that you've acquired along the way, you may be able to not die. And I'm hoping that that's how it ends, because that's really cool. But this is one of those games where it's got such a mood to it. It's so well sort of produced versus the like fucking cartoony, like 8-bit graphics. You just look at the screen and it's like, there's no way that this should be making me feel the way that I'm feeling, but it's doing it. And that's just through really clever use of not just like ambient sounds and music and stuff, but also silence. Like at the very start of the game, you wake up and it's clearly like a desolate wasteland and everything's kind of dead and there's only a few people kicking about. And it's just silent for ages. Like, you've just got, like, vague sort of wind noise and stuff, and it just makes it really sort of spooky. But, yeah, basically, you're this train driver. You've got a selection of routes, and each journey, you've got to keep the train running. There's, like, two or three mini-games in terms of, don't let the engine overheat. If there's passengers, you've got to feed them. If they're injured, you've got to give them medical supplies. And basically, the world kind of goes to shit, and there's this, like, second zombie apocalypse. And you're kind of taken on as the only sort of remaining train driver by the government to sort of transport shit through this sort of zombie infested wasteland. And it's all 2D, but it's just really told very well. And it's kind of fun. Like it's very cool. I highly recommend this. It's, I got completely engrossed in it. And a game, as I say, a game like this, that looks like this, made by such a small team, you just don't really expect that, but it's good, man. It's really good fun. I think I'm about halfway through, and it's another great addition to Game Pass.
Nice. I don't think it's on PC. No, it's not on. Well, it's on Steam, but no, it's not on Game Pass on PC, which is a shame.
Well, maybe it'll come along at some point. It's
more than likely, buddy.
It's very good. I'm just working my way through my list of games, buddy. I don't remember it. Did I talk about Subnautica at all on the podcast?
I don't think we spoke in real life about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll just mention it. It's like a sort of... It's a survival game where you are in a... your spaceship is going to explode and is crashing. You end up in an escape pod on like a basically a water world planet. And you like wake up and put out a fire in your little pod. You're just bobbing on the surface of the water. And it's a survival game, trying to fix like your communications and everything. And going diving for supplies and that sort of thing. And it's really fun. And again, captures a really cool mood. I've been really enjoying Subnautica. It's been out for ages on PC, I know.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I really like it. It's cool.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find... So what's the dealio? Is it just swimming about or is there other shit going on?
For the most part, you're swimming about. You've got a fabricator, like a little computer inside your pod. And it tells you how you can make stuff, like crafting and that sort of thing. Tells you what you need. And certain supplies are harder to find. Sometimes you have, like, you know, you start off with a basic air tank that only gives you sort of 30 seconds of air, but you can slowly upgrade that, allowing you to go deeper into caves and collect rarer materials to make stuff. And I think that the end goal is to be rescued. I don't know Survive. How far through a run I am, but
yeah.
I got my radio working and it sounds like they're coming to get me. So that's cool. I got a message from another escape pod and then I like swam over there and they were all dead. So I started wondering if there's like a bit of an interstellar thing going on with like time dilation or something like that.
Cool.
There's a really wonderful moment, and obviously this is a sandbox game to a degree, but obviously with story beats that I suppose are consistent throughout.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting as well that the ocean floor is procedurally generated, so each time you start a new game, it's completely different below you, different caverns and so on to explore. But yeah, the ship's got like a timer on it. Your actual main spaceship's kind of crashed a few miles away. You can see it like in the water. And at a certain point in your run, the like the engines become critical and there's this nuclear explosion. And like it's quite something to behold. Like graphically, this is very, very nice for a sort of a, you know, a fairly indie-esque affair. But yeah, it's just really cool. Like, puts your survival instincts in. Like, when the computer came up and said it was going to explode, I just like jumped off the pod and went and like parked myself in a cave. And then it does the whole sort of, you know, really excellent like audio effects, and then all the wind like rushing through the sea past you and that.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's really fun.
Nice. And, it looks really nice as well. How does it run on the old shit heap?
Pretty good. Not really any signs of slowdown. A little bit of texture pop in and so on. I mean, my expectations are so low on the Xbox One S that if anything looks passable, then I'm just like, wow, you know.
How did they get that running on the Xbox One S?
Yeah, it's an underpowered system. It's not as bad as I make out here, to be honest. Yeah.
I nearly picked up one of the digital ones on Black Friday or whatever when it was. I think it was Microsoft in Germany was selling the digital version for like £85. I was like,
Jesus.
Maybe. And then I was like, I don't really need one though. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I use the PlayStation on game night and I play PES during the week.
Yeah.
All of the rest of my gaming is done on the Xbox. There's like 3 new games come out every week and I just play them. And, you know, like Game Pass, as I said.
Does that make you want to get an Xbox One X or maybe the next generation Scarlet or whatever it is? Is that kind of tempting you in that direction?
It does. Ooh, yeah, it does, because it's such an excellent service. My trepidation would be that I'm sure that they'll fuck it. I'm sure they'll ruin it.
I mean, they did
they'll
that
tear it
with the Xbox, you know? One. I don't know if they're going to do it again.
Well, they'll tear the service. They're already tearing it
games
with
and
Ultimate.
Stuff.
Yeah, Game Pass. They'll have like a silver version, a fucking gold version, and that's how they'll bump the price up. Like, it'll go to shit. I know it will. I'm just enjoying it while it lasts.
Yeah, I think you're right, because like you say, it's still kind of in its beta stage of, you know, are they making money out of it or whatever?
Yeah,
I mean, and hopefully they are, you know.
PlayStation will catch up as well. Like, they're getting there now with PS Now, and the service still isn't as good. But a lot of that's to do with I mean, a lot of the
I think the fact that they said they're not going to put any, like, PlayStation exclusives on those...
Exactly.
...immediately put me off any kind of service that they're going to throw out. I think that's stupid.
I mean, like, it's exciting when you know you've got a new Halo on the way, you know, when you know you've got... Ori, like the second Ori game is coming out soon, and it's going to be on Game Pass instantly. Like, it's really cool. And these games, like, there's a lot of great stuff on here. I mean, that's in the last fortnight I've completed two
it's
games
crazy.
On Game Pass. Like, and that brings me around, I suppose, to the final game that I was going to talk about this week, buddy, which has been the game I have had the most amount of enjoyment from since we last spoke. And that is My Friend Pedro.
Nice, I got this installed, ready to go.
This game's fucking brilliant. Yeah. I absolutely love this. This is like... it's like a cross between, like, Hotline Miami and Max Payne. Like, but it's a 2D side scroller,
yeah.
So it's got like a bit of Shadow Complex about it as well, and then it's got this ridiculous sense of humor. It's an absolute joy to play this thing, and the way that it lets you do whatever you want as well, the way that it lets you play it however you want, it's so stupid. Essentially, you're like a fucking psychotic gun-toting ninja. Yeah. Wearing like a fucking BDSM mask who talks to a banana. That's what's going on with the
story.
Just
makes sense, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Each level's like separated up quite nicely, and it gives you a rating from like A, B, C, or you can get S-class ratings as well, which kind of encourages some replay value there as well. But just going through these levels, like, it's got so many wonderful mechanics. Namely, you can slow down time.
Yeah.
And it's very generous.
Bullet time always goes down well.
Huge amount of bullet time. You've got a dodge button, but rather on a 2D plane, that basically means you end up sort of fucking flash dancing around the screen.
That's the best thing that I like on this game, is the
you
movement.
You can fly through the air.
Just,
corkscrews.
It looks like ballet.
It does. And if you just keep spamming that bullet dodge button, you will not take any hits, even if you're standing right in front of someone and they're shooting the fuck out of you. It's got such great stuff. For example, you dual wield in this game a lot of the time. You can do that with pistols or Uzis. And you can lock on with one gun and then shoot with the other. So you're standing up on a ledge. You're about to fall down into a room. There's a guy to the left. There's a guy to the right. Before you take that jump, you can aim at the guy to the right, hold down left trigger to lock onto him, and then, as you come into the room, you can aim at the guy to the left that you're not locking onto, and you can shoot the fuck out of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, coming down. And you can hit the fucking dodge button at the same time, so you're pirouetting into the room.
Yeah.
And you can do that in slow motion if you click the stick
down.
And
it just looks incredible.
It's so fun. I've burnt through this thing. I absolutely adore it. And I've started it. I'm already on a second run. It's
nice.
Probably a 6-hour campaign, something like that. A little bit less, maybe.
Are you trying to go for like the S rankings or whatever they are? I think that's the highest one
I'm not hugely bothered about those. I just enjoyed it so much that I wanted to play it again.
Nice bit of killing. It's always good.
Yeah. And there's some incredible boss battles in this game. There's one that reminds me of like Akira back in the day, where you're on a bike and you're kind of shooting at cars and shit, like on a 2D plane. It's just like a side scroller. There's another one, and I don't want to say too much more. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's an incredible moment where you're chasing some dude down who's dressed as Santa Claus, and you jump off of a building, and the following level is you falling. Like, so you're upside down, and the enemies are falling. They come into shot. It's like Battletoads or something, and you can kind of hide behind items that are also falling at the same time, and you can still dual wield. You can still shoot at this or that. It's just so much fun. There's some dream levels in this that are bizarre, really strange. And the final boss battle as well was utterly ridiculous and just very odd. It's fucking awesome. It's a wonderful game. I always liked the look of it. It was a bit of an eye catcher, wasn't it? At the sort of expos and stuff when you see footage online, because of that bullet time stuff, it just looked so dumb. And yeah, it just controls very, very nicely, considering how much is going on. Like, it has to be pretty coherent with its control system to be so fucking dumb. And it does it. It does a really good job of it. And it's fucking great fun. Really good. I'm looking forward to seeing what you think, buddy, if you got it installed.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to get it done. It looks really cool.
It's great. It's really good. So yeah, there's a whole load of games that I've been playing. And yeah, alongside the usual suspects. And have been playing some Banjo-Kazooie as well, the original. Ooh. Which
how's is that been?
It's an old game.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. Controls really well for something so old. Yeah, I'll probably bounce off that, to be honest. Yeah. But but yeah, it's that whole Rare Replay. That's all on Game Pass as well. So
yeah, true.
Really fun, and yeah, on Pez won the treble with my Leeds team.
Oh, nice, buddy.
Gibbons.
Enjoying happy that. Days.
So yeah, that's me, buddy.
Oof, that's a lot of games.
Certainly that
you've
is.
Been playing.
Damn
and,
right.
Having completed a couple, that's pretty damn impressive, buddy.
Not a bad run.
Yeah. So I guess that leaves what I have to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot. I've played way too much Destiny 2 again. And I can only apologize to everyone on the podcast listening to it. But I won't talk about that first. Firstly, I'll talk about Overcooked 2. Now, I think I mentioned this before because obviously I've got it on the Switch. But this Switch is a pile of shit for playing games on. It's fine. It does what it does. But those controllers are really shit. I mean, I've already gone on about how the DualShock ones aren't much better, but at least it's an actual controller you can hold in two hands, whereas like the Switch's like retarded Joy-Cons aren't very good at all. The analog stick on them are just wank. You know, it's more like a D-pad with a stick attached to it than an actual analog stick. So. My wife loves Overcooked, and obviously she's been off for the past 3 weeks, not really been able to do much, and it's her birthday, and I was like, you know what, I'll treat her. I picked up Overcooked 2, it was like 10 quid in Argos or something like that, you know, big spender me, you know what it's like.
Oh yeah, Gibbon.
And yeah, so I've been playing a lot of that with the missus. It's been loads of fun, actually using a proper controller on it. This game is incredibly hard. it's insane. Like, they've added like I think it's the throwing mechanic in now, and the level design has just gone from, you know, you could get by on the original Overcooked, it was fine, and now there's fucking platforms moving about everywhere, shit is just kicking off, and you've got to throw stuff over here, over there. Now it's very satisfying when you've chopped up some chicken or something and you throw it to the other platform and bam, it lands straight in that frying pan. That is awesome. But when it goes wrong, oh my God, it is an absolute nightmare. We're still going through our standard three starring as many stages as we can as we go through it. And it's just a fantastic co-op game. I believe it's on Game Pass now, actually, or it's coming to in December, Overcooked 2.
I mean, it's hard to keep track at this point.
Because there's so many. I'm pretty sure Overcooked 2 is coming halfway through December to cool, Xbox, which is cool. So you'll have to give it a go and tell me how you get on with it, because they have really stepped it up again. It's just a fantastic co-op game. It's one of those games where you will shout at everyone that's playing, even if they're kids, you know, and they're not doing it the right way.
That's character building, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, they learn to, you know, stick to the rules, do what they're meant to do. But yeah, it seems to take a lot of improvisation, right? Thinking on the fly. Compared to the previous one. The previous one, it was a case of, right, you're doing this, this, and this. I'm doing this, this, and this. Right, let's do that. and then we win. Whereas now it's like, oh shit, things are going, but I'm meant to be doing this, but oh, okay, wait a minute, this level's going to change, so one of us has to stay on the top and one stay on the bottom, or the left or right, or fucking, it's really good. It's really good. And like the whole the map where you choose your level, they've improved that a bit, where it's raised up, so you have to go up like ramps, and when you go across water, your bus turns into like a raft. It's really nice. Nice little touches like that. It's really stupid little things that
yeah, I was a big really fan good. Of that overworld map on the first game, and yeah. I mean, you guys are seasoned veterans of Overcooked, so if you're saying that this second one's really hard, it's, then I should is, be it's quite tough. Concerned.
I think it just takes a bit of getting used to the throwing and stuff like that. But when you get that down, yeah, you're all good. And yeah, playing it with a natural controller is a hell of a lot better than the Switch, let's put it that way.
Yeah, Gibbons.
So the only other game that I've been playing, buddy, is obviously Destiny 2. Oh my God, I've got sucked back into this game so badly. It's ridiculous. I wasn't playing it as often as I was. I smashed it until about this time, and then you know they brought out the Gambit season, and then the season of Opulence, and I didn't play any of it really. But obviously Shadowkeep came out. I played for all that content. I gave an extensive review on that, so I don't really need to talk about that anymore. But the main thing that I've done now, I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but I left the Dad's Clan. I think I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've joined some other guys, and it's just been loads of fun. Like, we've got regular raid nights. Everyone seems to be sticking to them, or if they can't, they're giving fair notice, which is really nice. So it's like, okay, well, we're not doing that tonight, that's fine. And yeah, I've just been smashing it through that, and then with them I've been doing a lot of other content that I can't really do as a solo player. So I've been doing a lot of the hard nightmares, which is just like mini strikes, I'd say, but they're just insanely hard and you have to kind of cheese them a little bit. Been doing the new dungeons as well, or the new dungeon, like the Shattered Throne. So it's a three-man, it's like a small raid for three people, and that's pretty fucking intense. But yeah, the main thing that we've been doing is the raid. It's taking a hell of a long time. I think it took about 3 or 4 weeks to get this finished. It was incredibly hard. And it's not because the actual raid is hard. It's because the final boss encounter is an absolute shit for going wrong at any second. There's several mechanics that can just fuck you over completely. The gist of it is you have like two teams. One team of four of you are collecting motes on either side of the big boss, and like the other two have to use this tether mechanic to rebuild the ground underneath you while you're getting attacked by a load of fucking Vex, which is fun. So firstly, yeah, the tether mechanic is absolute bollocks. If anyone's near you, then they get tethered. If they're tethered, they can't shoot, so that means they get killed. While collecting the motes, it's on like some island or some hills over off on the side, so you kill people. These motes can roll off the edge, meaning you don't get all your motes, which means you're fucked. And then if you do get to the damage stage on the boss, sometimes he likes to just, you know, turn sideways, so you can't shoot him. Really fucking annoying. But after 3 or 4 weeks of doing this, we finally cleared it, and oh my God, I had that immense feeling of, yes, we did it, boys, that kind of thing. And it was fucking awesome, and everyone like had that same feeling at the same time, and it was really good. So yeah, we managed to fucking beat the raid, and that was before the season ended, so I was really happy with that. We're still going to go around and do all the old raids, because there's like, I've only done two of them. There's like another like four or something to do, which is cool.
But it's cool that you found a good group of people to do that with as well, like, because that's what you need, isn't it? That's the most crucial thing for it is having that solid, like, crew to actually make progress with it and not sort of bounce off.
And it's good because they're all going for all the crazy gear and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking give it a go. Like, I'm not not putting near enough the same amount of hours as these guys into it, but I'm still... I'm pulling my weight, buddy. I'm doing the job, you know, pro gamer and all, whatever. The season of The Undying, which was the first season when Shadow came out, has finished now. And I maxed out my season rank, buddy. I hit all 100 levels. All right. I got my season loot or whatever. I mean, whatever. Who cares?
Well done.
I know, I did it. And the new one started. It's like with Osiris, he's back and he's meddling with time and shit's going down. I picked it up because it was £4 because I had some silver left over from, I think I got like 1,000 free from buying Forsaken last year. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to try this one for £4 and see how it goes. I'm guessing it's going to be a pile of wank, but for £4, I'll give it a burn anyway. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. It only came out yesterday, so I've barely touched it. So, yeah, that's Destiny 2, mate. That's a little update about winning the raid and shit.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, enjoyable, huh?
Well, cheers, buddy.
I don't know. I'm at a stage at the moment where I just can't be can't be asked to play. I'll start a new game. With my wife being as she is, like, I'm having to do two people's jobs around the house. I'm not sitting down till like 9:30 in an evening. I'm just like I just mentally I'm done and I can't think of starting like a nice story campaign or whatever. So it's just chuck Destiny on and go and shoot dudes for a couple of hours, really.
Gibbons, and it's no surprise that the bulk of the story stuff I have started has been on weekends when I've had the chance to, rather than when you come home from work and done the dinner and you finally sit down and it's like, no. You
know, I can't face it. Like I really want to go back and do a lot of single player games. Like, I want to go back to Hitman. I want to finish off Gears. Like, and I've said it so many times before, but it's just, you know, I finished all, like, I've made the kids pack lunches for tomorrow. I've got all their uniform ready. You know, I've made the wife dinner. The kids are in bed. I've sat down and I'm like, fuck my life. Let's just shoot cunts. Yeah. But anyway,
you can't argue with the value you've extracted from Destiny.
No, I really can't. You know, I looked at it the other day. I think I was like on 42 days worth of gameplay.
It's mad.
I don't know what that is.
I'll never understand.
I know, right?
But as long as you're enjoying yourself, it doesn't. I don't need to.
The only thing I can think it was, it's like my version of like an MMO or Pez, or it's a game where you just enjoy playing it for playing's sake, you know.
Yeah,
you just enjoy playing that kind of game, and
yeah, and you've got a crew to do it with as well. Yeah, so that's kind of nice.
For some reason, Destiny seems to tick my boxes for that criteria. Gibbons. Of playing a game. Yeah,
it's not that alien to most people. It's just because we've never got into like MMOs and shit. But you know,
I've tried.
A lot of people listening to this, they'll have had that experience with lots of games over the years. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah,
it is what it is.
Gibbons, buddy.
Gibbon. There you go. It's been quite fun actually, just free balling this fucking podcast, buddy. Just doing whatever.
Well, I've got a little question. It's not fucking street beat or anything, because this isn't going to get edited. This is just going fucking straight out as is.
No editing required, buddy. There is no editing. We are at this point.
I mean, I'm probably not even going to do an intro. I'll just be like, fuck it. There you go.
I wouldn't bother.
Nah, cool.
Who needs it?
No one, really. It's just more time for us.
Yep.
Right, fuck it. Obviously, a couple of days ago, or whenever it was, old Minecraft got updated, or it's getting updated to have crossplay on PlayStation 4. You know, it's been reported over the place. People have spoken about it. That's good. More crossplay is good. I think it's fantastic. And also, Sony had their whatever conference thing and they said stuff. But one thing that came out was that MLB The Show is going to be multi-platform, which I... Is that a bit weird?
I mean, it is weird because it's a Sony thing, isn't it?
So, yeah, and it'll be on, like, Xbox.
I mean, why not?
I mean, yeah, there's totally.
There's no competition
I agree.
On that platform, and it's a really good game. Yeah. Offline.
Why is it? Because all the servers have been taken down.
It's fucking toilet online. Yeah. Laggy as shit, and, yeah, predominantly sort of Loot Crate Central. But,
love it. Oh, shit.
Sort of Ultimate Team bullshit going on there. But,
massive,
yeah.
Man.
I don't know. I am surprised. But, yeah, I guess... I don't know. It's just... It does seem weird. Like, do they really need to tap into the Xbox market for the sake of... You know, if you're a baseball fan, you can only buy a PlayStation because...
Because that's where MLB The Show is.
There's no baseball game on the Xbox.
No, yeah. no official baseball game or anything, really, is there?
There's nothing that anywhere near it.
No.
Slick, man. No. Like, The Show is slick as fuck and really fun. Obviously, I haven't played the new one, but last year's one went on to game PS Plus, didn't it? And
yes, it did, didn't it? Yeah.
Incidentally, my PS Plus ran out, like, 3 months ago.
It's all good. Like, I've got mine...
Yeah, exactly. All the time yours is running and we're family sharing, then I'm just fine.
Like, you're all good, buddy. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
It's all good. The main thing I was thinking, like, what does this mean kind of going forward? Like, with console choices and, you know, the possibility of, like, PCs and, like, I don't know, streaming services, you know, in the far future or whatever. Like, if a lot of these games are going to be like, you can play with Xbox, you can play with PC or whatever, and these games aren't becoming so much exclusives anymore. Like, well, where is that going to take us in the future?
Well, I mean... It depends how far, as you say, in the future you're going. Mm. I mean, in terms of...
So let's say next gen, right? PS5, Xbox, 1.5, whatever.
Yeah.
Still going to be the same as it is now kind of thing?
It kind of is, because the infrastructure isn't there for sort of proper streaming stuff. This generation, the best games have been on PlayStation, because... Sony has a rich heritage of investing in a series of first-party studios that they already had in place and set up at the start of this generation. And as such, they were able to spurt out a load of brilliant video games. Like,
that's true.
The Last of Us, you know, that whole sort of studio where you've got, like, The Last of Us and you've got Uncharted, you've got God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, these games... Are all better than any offering on the Xbox, in my opinion. And Microsoft also, the other thing, I mean, you can look at it in so many different ways. The fact that the Xbox One, the early beginnings of the Xbox One were so fucking disastrous with Don Matrick, with the Kinect, like with all of that bullshit, like was the fact that they're sitting fairly pretty where they are now. Like, the absolute, like, insane work that team has done to get them even, like, as a credible alternative to PlayStation.
Yeah.
After that full start is amazing. And Game Pass is a complete game changer. Like, that's a shat all over the PlayStation in terms of value and choice. But going into the next generation, I just... You wonder if Microsoft has done enough in terms of studio acquisitions in this generation to come out with something like Horizon, you know, something as strong as that going forward. Because the exclusives on the Xbox have been ropey at best. There's been a real shortage of
stuff. They've got a lot in development, though, haven't they?
They do, and that's going to be their trump card going forward.
Which is kind of making me think, right? I know we've got a lot of software on Sony, on PlayStation, on PS4, yeah? We do. Hundreds of games. Now, next gen, I know we don't know what the price of Xbox Game Pass is going to be. Say we just picked up, you know, an Xbox, whatever it is, got Game Pass, and picked up, like, I got the new Destiny each year, and we bought a football game and F1, and we just bought 3 games a year and had Game Pass.
Yeah.
Would that be enough?
Well, it would be enough. And if you're asking me, do I want to stick with PlayStation because we've bought so many games for PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that.
I don't play any of my old games.
Yeah, I've played them. We bought them so that we could play them at the time, and I played them.
Exactly. And I'm with you with that, to be honest.
And a lot of people are purists, and a lot of people are coming at it from a feeling that they own a product. I've never had any illusions about that. You know, they've been talking about renting a fucking license as long as I've been buying DVD discs.
It's always been
discs.
That, hasn't it? Yeah.
It is what it is.
And you don't own this software, you're leasing it or whatever.
And also, I'm not throwing my PlayStation away, and that library's still sitting there if I want to invest in a PS5 in the future. But
that's true.
For me at the moment, the only thing that Sony has over Microsoft at this stage in this life cycle of these consoles is those exclusives. And that's a massive boon and incredibly important. But if Microsoft has invested enough, does have enough in development, and can compete in a first-party kind of mold, then they've got better everything else. The console runs better than my PlayStation. Game Pass shits all over PS.
You got XCloud as well. Seems
that's on its
reasonably
way.
Good.
I mean, I've always kind of had a soft spot for the Xbox because I see it as this like plucky piece of shit, like this fucking trier. I don't know. My skepticism comes from the idea that in a very short space of time, in terms of development cycles, Microsoft can step up and actually compete with Sony on a first-party level.
Yeah.
But they've never done that before, and this generation's been a disaster in that respect.
Like, it's not been great.
Gears, like, flogging dead horses. Like, hey, 343 shitting out a Halo game. Fucking Gears coming out. Like Sea of Thieves, like I know you've had quite a lot
I got
of fun
a lot of
that,
enjoyment but, out of that game.
But that's not a God of War. That's not a Horizon. That shouldn't be representative of a blockbuster console.
So
it's it just isn't.
The exclusives from Sony are mainly single player story campaigns, aren't they?
And that's what I want.
And there you go. So hopefully we'll see some more of them coming out of Microsoft next year.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't see any reason to immediately upgrade to a PS5.
No, I don't, to be honest.
Because as far as I can tell, it's going to be something of a compatibility shit.
Unless I can run Destiny 2 at 60 frames per second on it, then
I'm just not asked.
Mate, I'm there.
I'm just not asked about graphics anymore. I'm at the stage in my life where if I was, then I would buy a PC. And the fact that I haven't done that suggests that it's not important to me like it used to be. And
yeah, totally.
So I'll probably there's no reason for me to upgrade to a PS5. There is reason for me to switch to an Xbox because it's a different platform. I get different experiences.
Yeah.
And I'm very much enjoying the S. But I got the S super cheap and it's a pile of wank. So, yeah. I mean, if I'm going to buy anything at launch, it looks like an Xbox from where I'm standing.
It's going to be interesting next year as we start to see specs and stuff actually come out. Obviously, rumors are that the PlayStation 5 is more powerful, you know, and that's why we built the PS4, because it was more powerful.
And that paid off that decision.
Well, I think we lucked out with the exclusives, because we didn't know that God of War was going to be coming out and things like that. I think we just got lucky there.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I think that's reasonable. I mean, I bought that thing on the strength of fucking Killzone Shadowfall. So,
exactly.
Although that gets a lot of shit, that game. That was good, that game. It was decent.
It was okay.
That toilet. That's a decent game.
It looked amazing, you know. And, you know, we went on power for our decision between the Xbox One and the PS4. But,
and like the controllers.
And the controllers. Yeah, because we tried them out, luckily. Maybe we've got to do that again. We've got to go try these things out before we buy it, obviously. I just hope that
new PlayStation doesn't look like the PS5 dev kits we're seeing pictures of.
It's impressive. It looks good.
That's 80s the future. George Lucas.
Mate, I'd rather
shit,
have the Madbox compared to that piece of shit.
Well, we haven't got a news section this week. We're just kind of shooting the shit, but it is worth mentioning. And I know Cosmic Dad, or was it JJ in the... it was Cosmic Dad, I think.
In the Discord.
Yeah.
We have a Discord. Join our Discord. It's on the website. Do it.
It's on the website. Go to jfgpodcast.co.uk. You can find a link to our Discord. Codemasters has bought Slightly Mad Studios.
Yeah, they have.
So that's something.
Yeah, he says Slightly Mad Studios, this could be great or a disaster. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a studio that is definitely no longer making some sort of insane fucking console, but also it would appear from all of the rumours, if they're true, that they are making a Fast and the Furious game and have been for some time. So that's interesting. And now Codemasters are at the helm there. And it also means
Fast and the Furious game? Like heists, speed heists.
I don't know.
It's just GTA at the end of the day, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, is that an open world game?
I don't know.
Or is it a racing game?
Talking about open world racing games, Forza Horizon 4 is getting a... What's the game mode that we don't like? Battle Royale?
What, yeah. Forza?
70-something cars drop in on Britain. Race your tits off to win.
Well, with that tagline, it can't fail, buddy. That sounds perfect. Well, that's exciting. I still want Grid, by the way. I've been leaving it for the time being because it's still quite a high price, but I am going to start fucking kicking and screaming about that.
Pick it up, buddy. Do it.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Do it.
But yeah, there you are.
Cool.
That's a podcast.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I've been drinking all sorts this evening. I've had one of these. What's this?
I've had one of these. Yeah.
Meantime. London Meantime. Anytime IPA.
Anytime.
I had a
neck oil. Greenwich Meantime.
Yep, very much so.
Oh, a bit of neck oil. Yeah, I drank way too many of them a while ago.
Weakest beer of the evening, the Sharps Atlantic Pale.
I don't mind that. I'm a fan. I'll drink it.
It's all right, but not in comparison to your Shipyard IPA there.
So, can't go wrong with a bit of Shipyard, mate.
That's what I've ended on, buddy. Yeah. What about you? What are you drinking?
So, to be honest, this week I've drunk an array of beers. Not really an array. It's probably about four different. I had some Bombardier. I had some Abbott's. I had some Shed... something, I don't know, at the Panto there was some like American IPA. It was really nice, actually. Expensive times money's run out in the Rag household.
What can happen?
I'm on the Rhinebacker, buddy. £3 for four tins. Does the job.
That seems like a good idea. I mean, I always find that the best bet when you're having to find money to buy presents for like 20 family members.
Yeah, it's always a
Is when you come out of your house in the morning, pop down to the car, and find a huge crack in the windscreen.
Oh, funsies.
Yes, that's Wednesdays. So, brilliant stuff. Firstly, I'm switching it up. Are you getting any gaming stuff for Christmas? Have you got anything on your list? Any games that you want?
I haven't got anything. I'll try and get my PlayStation Plus for the year.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Yeah. What about you? I'm hoping for some new slippers, to be honest. These ones are fucked.
That seems nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm old now and That's what happens when you get old. You get slippers. Well, to be honest, I've been getting slippers for years. I love slippers.
I haven't owned a pair of slippers since I was about 12.
You're missing out, mate. But then again, you've got carpeted floor. You haven't got hardwood floors, have you?
No, it's true. It is true.
I can't walk on hardwood floors, man. My feet get cold.
Yeah, first thing
I need to get some underfloor heating, I think.
Just take my socks off. Just get shot.
When we did the living room, we put carpet down in there. It's much nicer. I love carpet. It's best. Brilliant. Carpet's awesome.
Beautiful, especially at Christmas.
Ooh. It's nearly Christmas, mate. 2 weeks.
I'm excited. Next week's show, presumably the last one before Christmas. And yeah. Then
there won't be one until the new year sometime.
The new year, of course. The barren wasteland that is Game of the Year.
I guess that'll be the first one we do when first we come back after Christmas. Yeah. All right, that's cool. That gives us a couple of weeks to think about it.
We've got a bit of a Christmas show next week, and I'll see if I can do something. Christmas quiz. You've got to have your Christmas quiz. Five lists as well. And,
top five.
I think probably some reminiscing about Christmases gone by, buddy, and the games and consoles that we got therein. It's been a while.
We'll have to make our mandatory Christmas list of things that we want for Christmas, but we'll never get.
Absolutely. It's important to do that every year.
Are you making notes? Because I've forgotten all of this.
Yeah, no, I probably won't remember any
Okay, cool. We'll just see what happens next week then. I like this new, whatever approach. It's even lazier than what we were doing before.
Top five Xmas list.
There you go.
Of things we won't get. That's a note for next week. Christmas quiz.
Christmas quiz, yeah. Top five, top five.
Top five, top five. Yeah, that'll probably do it.
That'll at least last an hour.
Absolutely. Also, I need to mention this. It's very specific to my town. It probably there's no interest to anyone else, but just to let you know, buddy, that a wonderful announcement for the Tunbridge Wells Forum, my local gig venue.
Go on.
On the 28th of February, we'll be welcoming a headline performance from the one and only Artful Dodger.
Ah, nice.
So, you know, I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, big fan of the Artful Dodger. Didn't he do some stuff with Craig David?
Woman Troubles, another good one.
Say Bo Selector. I don't know. Yeah. Is he on that?
Please Don't Turn Me On.
Please.
There's a lot there. There's a lot to like. And pretty excited for February at this point.
Yeah, right. I've got to go and finish off making the packed lunches for tomorrow, buddy.
Yeah, fucking sounds like a plan, buddy.
I love life.
I also love life. Thanks so much for listening this week, and let us know what you think about this. Is it offensive to the word format to call this a new format?
Were you bothered? Let us know.
Did you like that? Did you like all the game talk and the lack of structure or coherence?
I don't know. I mean, I liked it.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think there's certainly a higher probability of it being a bad show on occasion with this format. But, you know, who can say? Who can say until it happens?
Okay.
For now, we'll fuck off, I think.
I think if
you want to chat to us, buddies, we're in the Discord. I've monitored it on my phone all the time now. It's always open. I just haven't said much because I'm an empty shell. I've got nothing to say.
Yeah, I thought about all these people that blog and do stuff every day. I'm like, how can you do that? Like, write a diary. Like, nothing interesting in my life happens on a day-to-day basis.
Well, they're all pretending that they have interesting things.
Oh, okay. I try and do that on the podcast as well, but it just doesn't work.
No, it's not ideal. You're too genuine a person.
Straight shooter, me.
Sort of porky. Absolutely right, Gibbons.
Right, yeah, right, bye.
We'll be back next time for the Christmas show. Thanks so much for listening, buddies. If you've got any questions or comments or anything, then pop it in the Discord. And other than that, we will catch you next time. Farewell.
Bye. Even that was weird.
Yeah, I mixed up as well.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Suck it. You've been listening to the JFG podcast with Ash and me, Alex. You can find us at www.thejfgpodcast.co.uk, where you'll also find our Discord and Streetbeat if you want to get involved with the show. Our Facebook is /thejfgpodcast, and our Twitter handle is @thejfgpodcast. We're on all those video streaming sites too, buddies, from ChewTube to twitch.tv/thejfgpodcast to mixer.com, aka beam.fuckingpro. We've got a PS4 community you can join. Just search the JFG podcast on there. And we're also on Google+, if that is how you choose to live your life. Thanks so much for listening, buddies. We'll catch you next time. Yeah.